Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our outstanding producer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is 6 past the hour of 1 o'clock on this Wednesday, April 17th, 2024.
Pump day!
It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Welcome into hour two of the big program. Always great to have Pat Kreitlow and Trick Violson there. And appreciate all the phone calls, by the way, as well. Clearly, this subject last hour, and good on Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, former world champion in the NBA with the Milwaukee Bucks, calling out OC Eric Hovde, Orange County OC Eric Hovde, on these comments, which are just demeaning to seniors, inferring that they shouldn't have a right to vote when they're in a nursing home, or that they're not going to live very long, or that somehow it's suspect. That's really what he's getting to, Eric Hovde, saying that it's suspect that all these folks in nursing homes are voting.
Right. And I get it. When you push, as Trippy said, when you push around money to make more money on profit off of an assisted living facility, I'm not surprised that you don't realize it's not the same thing as sending your dog to a nice farm upstate.
Well, it
just means that they need help. It doesn't mean they're dying in 2 weeks and they're a babbling puddle. Right. Like, they're still people.
They're absolutely people. Like I said, my paternal grandmother lived to 96, and she was lucid up until her dying moment, basically.
Right.
Yeah. And I mean, she had her full cognitive abilities to think for herself. And shout out was a Bob in Green Lake for calling in and sharing that. I mean, he happens to be a Democrat, but his dad was going to vote Republican. And he said, look, I didn't stop him. He had his own right to make his decision. And he was in a nursing home, and the people there helped him vote. They did not tell him for whom to vote or who to vote for. They simply gave him the opportunity of dignity as an American to cast that ballot, as every American should. So
absolutely.
So thanks for all the calls. Coming up later this hour, really looking forward to this, Kathy Griffin is going to be joining us. She is a comedian, of course, very famous for some things good, some things maybe not so good. She's famous for being talented and a great actor, but also famous a little bit for being famous, I think, as well. And of course, went through a big cancellation, essentially, when she held up a mask of Donald Trump that had been bloodied and basically trying to make a joke, I think poorly, that somehow it was funny to have this so-called severed head of Donald Trump, and CNN fired her and lost friends like Anderson Cooper over it. Then she got cancer. Then she went through addiction. She went through a divorce. And I think, you know, the takeaway that I get is, while I don't agree with all of her style of comedy, I certainly appreciate some of it. You know, she was on big hits like Seinfeld. She is Emmy and Grammy award winning. She has a world Guinness Book of World Records for the comedian with the most, I believe, live shows on television. She has a distinguished entertainment career. And while I might not agree with every single piece of comedy she's ever done, just like politicians I've worked for, I didn't agree with every single vote they took. But what I get from Kathy Griffin, and I hope that people are going to get from this interview after the break at 1:30, is she never gave up. You know, she said, I had all this stuff happen to me, and I think it would have been very easy for a lot of people in her situation to just go sit in a corner and feel sorry for herself. But she found the ability to keep moving forward. And she's back on the road. She has a comedy stand-up special. She will be here in Madison this coming Sunday at 7:30 in the Overture Center. And I think there's some things in this interview that are going to surprise you.
So, yeah, I know there was a lot of cool stuff. That's for sure.
And I think it's maybe a different side of Kathy Griffin than you might have heard in her stand-up and in her specials. So I encourage people to stick around. I think it should be very good. I think you're going to get a lot out of it. Kathy Griffin at the bottom of the hour. Right now, I want to update you on a couple of breaking news things here from CBS News. House Republican leadership have unveiled the legislative text for three bills that are part of a complicated plan by Speaker Mike Johnson to get aid to U.S. allies while addressing concerns from conservatives. Again, according to CBS News, the three bills would provide $26.4 billion of support to Israel, $60.8 billion to bolster Ukraine, and $8.1 billion to counter China in the Indo-Pacific, including billions directly to Taiwan. The fourth bill, which is set to be released later this afternoon, is geared towards addressing other Republican foreign policy priorities. That measure would allow the sale of frozen assets of Russia oligarchs, potentially force the sale of TikTok, and authorize stricter sanctions on Russia, China, and Iran. House Republicans are also expected to release a border security bill that would be considered separately. Speaker Johnson said he would give lawmakers 72 hours to review the legislation, teeing up a vote as soon as Saturday. Again, breaking news at this hour, according to CBS News, House Republican leadership have now unveiled the text for these three bills of foreign aid packages. This is a big deal on a number of levels. The obvious one, helping Israel, helping Ukraine, helping Taiwan, getting this aid out there. Also reports that particularly in terms of the aid going to Israel, there is also humanitarian. We can't confirm this. This is being reported. We haven't confirmed it directly, but there's going to be humanitarian aid to Gaza included in there as part of the deal to get Democratic support. Now, why is all this suddenly happening? According to the Washington Post, late yesterday afternoon, House Speaker Mike Johnson's job is in serious jeopardy now, as two far right-wing lawmakers are threatening to oust him after the embattled Republican leader was planning to and has now released this plan for foreign allies during wartime. Speaker Johnson introduced the plan, as we said, this afternoon, especially for Israel, which faced a barrage of missiles and drones from Iran over the weekend to help for Ukraine in its fight against Russia, along with other measures. But the angry right flank, which has for weeks threatened to wrest Johnson's gavel, escalated its attacks yesterday morning, also vowing to sink a procedural measure needed to consider the plan. According to the Washington Post, during a weekly Republican meeting yesterday, Representative Thomas Massey of Kentucky upped the ante when he stood up and called on Johnson to resign after announcing that he had signed on to Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene's plan to depose him, known as a motion to vacate. Now, remember when Wisconsin Congressman Mike Gallagher, Republican of the Green Bay area, when he resigns, as he said he's going to do on Friday, leaving early after announcing he would not seek re-election, he's going to resign, which means at that time, the Republicans will only have a one-seat majority in the House of Representatives. So all it takes is Marjorie Greene and one other Republican on a vote to oust Mike Johnson from the Speaker's chair. So the fact that Thomas Massey of Kentucky has stepped forward now gives Marjorie Taylor Greene, an upper hand. Reading on in this Washington Post story, the motion is going to get called, okay? Does anybody doubt that? The motion will get called, and then he's going to lose more votes than Kevin McCarthy. That according to Massey, Congressman Massey, referring to the previous GOP speaker who lost the gavel when eight Republicans joined all Democrats to oust him in October. Johnson said this, quote, "I'm not resigning," Johnson said defiantly yesterday at a news conference, saying that it was, quote, absurd, unquote. The Republicans are trying to, quote, do their job. Called for steady leadership. And so Democrats are going to have to make a decision here. Are they going to help save Mike Johnson, theoretically, and keep him as Speaker in order to get this very much needed foreign aid package through? Or do they try something procedurally sneaky to make Hakeem Jeffries, the Democratic leader, the Speaker? Reports are in this Washington Post article that Democrats, quote, have indicated that they may be willing to save Johnson's job if it comes to that. But much depends on the final text of the foreign aid package, which, as we said, was just released. They helped tank McCarthy's speakership last fall after the former speaker refused to ask for help. Remember, McCarthy did not go to Hakeem Jeffries and ask for help. They largely trusted Johnson, however, to keep his word, speaking of Democrats. And Democrats respect him for recognizing that compromise is necessary to ensure that high-priority bills land on the president's desk. Remember, Mike Johnson, Speaker Johnson, was just down at Mar-a-Lago. He's getting pressure from Trump not to do this because Trump doesn't want to give Democrats anything positive to run on. But McCarthy's also getting a lot of heat within his own Republican conference, sans the so-called Freedom Caucus of right-wingers, and saying, look, if you don't put this on the table, we will join with Democrats and oust you anyway. So here's the deal that Johnson, the situation he finds himself in. Either essentially make a deal with Democrats to get this through, and Democrats will save his speakership, or acquiesce to Donald Trump and not put it up for a vote, knowing that the, I don't want to call it moderates, but non-whack job Republicans in his own caucus might vote him out anyway. You want to know what it is? It's a Kobayashi Maru. It's a no-win scenario for Speaker Mike Johnson. The term comes from, in my opinion, the finest Star Trek movie of all time, Star Trek II, Wrath of Khan, in which Admiral Kirk is overseeing this test. It's a test, you understand? It's a test of character for every starship captain that they're out there on this training voyage and they get a distress call from a Federation starship in the neutral zone. And you're not supposed to go into the neutral zone. But you find out there are 500 souls that will die if you don't save them. So you have to decide. Will you go out and save 500 people or adhere to Starfleet regulation? It's a no-win scenario. It's a Kobe, and the name of the ship is Kobayashi Maru. Mike Johnson is in a Kobayashi Maru. We'll find out what happens. Also, stay tuned. Would you like to eat like the Fonz? We'll explain when we come back. And Kathy Griffin, straight ahead of the All Balls Show on Civic Media. One of the greatest theme songs of all time, in my opinion, of a television series.
I have to agree.
Happy Days, set, of course, iconically, in one of the greatest cities in America, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Great show. Arthur Fonzarelli, the Cunninghams. I mean, it's just, it was fantastic. A great show about Milwaukee and all the great things, set, of course, back in the 50s. It was another time, another era. Great show, Happy Days. I believe it's ABC, if memory serves. Anyway, a great story in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel today by Jim Higgins entitled Milwaukeeans' New Happy Days Cookbook Can Help You Eat Like the Fonz. Now, see, this is spectacular. According to the story, here we go. No way was Milwaukee native Christina Ward letting some New York writer create a cookbook inspired by the TV series Happy Days. No, when actors from the comedy set Milwaukee came here in 1983 for an event celebrating the last season of the series, the young Ward and a few of her friends, quote, skipped out of school and met them at the airport, unquote. A food historian and an official Wisconsin master food preserver, Ward happily rewatched the 11 seasons of Happy Days, which of course aired from 1974 to 1984, and pored through transcripts to create the dozens of recipes in the Happy Days, the official cookbook, from egg to zucchini bread, unquote. Now that right there, that's a great name for a book.
That's a great line.
Here's the name again. Happy Days, the official cookbook from egg to zucchini bread. And you have to say it that way, by the way.
It's a legal requirement.
Yeah, you can't just say from A to cornbread. No, A. And it's spelled A-A-A-A-A-Y.
Mom, I hope you're not listening because happy birthday.
Back to the story. It's frankly a nostalgic book. In addition to recipes and food pictures, it includes dozens of cast and scenic photos from the show and trivia quiz questions created by Ward. She embraced that approach. If you're a Gen Xer, she said, Happy Days is a large part of your nostalgia. Can certainly relate. She drew recipe ideas from specific episodes, as well as a longer narrative of arcs in the series from characters stated, likes and dislikes, such as, here we go, Richie Cunningham. All right. Richie Cunningham's love of his mom's meatloaf. I remember that. Even minor characters get their culinary shout out as a ragu from Mrs. Nussbaum, Fonzie's grandmother. And a reader will find some characteristic foods of the series 1950s to 60s time period, including city chicken. All right. Very good. I love everything about this story, if you can't tell. A cookbook based on Happy Days. Back to the article, Ward said, also made sure that no unusual equipment was necessary to make these mid-century American dishes. Quote, I was really trying to develop recipes that were accessible to cooks with the standard array of tools, she said. But she did include an appliance invented long after the Cunninghams enjoyed their family's dinner that's increasingly popular today. Here are some of the Milwaukee references, Easter eggs, and other surprises in the book. We're not going to give them all to you because I don't want to ruin it for you, right? I want to have you have something in there. Here's one. Arnold's Drive-In. Remember that was the drive-in set in the fictional Milwaukee, Wisconsin. The favorite hangout of Richie, Fonzie, and the company. Ward noted that Happy Days co-creator Tom Miller, who went to Whitefish Bay and Nicolet High Schools, said Arnold's reflects the old Milky Way drive-in on Northport Washington Road in Glendale, where Cops is now. So there's a little bit of trivia for you. That's what it was based on. According to the co-creator who went to Whitefish Bay and Nicolet High Schools, Arnold's in Happy Days based on the old Milky Way drive-in on Northport Road in Glendale, where Cops is now. But all the Southsiders would say, no, it's Leon's. Ward said playfully, she's a fourth generation Bay Viewian. I think that's absolutely fantastic.
That is really cool. Just right? hearing the history of all of it.
Yeah.
And having been to all these places because it's Milwaukee.
And especially if you're from Southeast Wisconsin, Milwaukee, you know where all these places are. And if you don't, you go to visit them. Here's one. I'll pick one out. I'm not going to read all these to you, but you got to buy the book, right? Secrets of the Thick Milwaukee Malt. There were regional varieties of malts during the Happy Days era, Ward said, with a higher ratio of milk to ice cream or custard in other places. Milwaukeeans use less milk, making a thicker milkshake, she said. As a good Milwaukeean, Ward's malt is based on custard, not ice cream. She includes a recipe for Arnold's world-famous frozen soft-serve custard that you can make at home. Oh. How about that?
I'm going to have to try that.
Now, I mean, there's all kinds of, everybody in Wisconsin has kind of their favorite place to get a malt. Now, I mean, being much younger than me, do you get malts? I mean, when I was growing up, malt was still a thing. And what made it a malt, of course, was the malted milk powder.
Oh, yeah. I definitely still, if I go out to a diner or something and they have malts versus shakes, it depends. It depends who I'm with and what I'm feeling. But I'll definitely still get malts.
I remember going to two places in the old hometown Richland Center. One to Louis Diner, the great late Louis Saludis, who had a great diner, and they made great homemade custard pie. And I'd get and this is, you know, terrible nutrition, but I'd have a piece of Louis custard pie and a bottle of ski. That would be my after. But we also got malts there. But then also the other Rexall's drugstore, where the wonderful Betty Umbehan, who is now in her 90s and still doing fantastic. I think she's down in Florida now. But Betty would make two things for me. A great malt using the old green mixer with a steel, you know, cups or whatever, basically the malt mixer. And also it was the kind of place where you'd order a cherry Coke and she'd take the glass Coke glass and put two or three scoops of crushed ice in it. Then the cherry syrup and then the Coca-Cola. I mean, a true fountain drink.
Oh, absolutely.
It's the best cherry cola I've ever. You cannot replicate it in a can or a bottle. Only at Rexall's with Betty Umbehan making that drink. That's what makes Wisconsin great.
Yeah, and there's not much of that around anymore.
Right? I wonder if there are places.
Oh, there's got to be. There's right? got to be.
And we're coming up. We're going to do Kathy Griffin next, so don't call in right now because we don't have time. But we should do a segment and ask people to name their favorite places to get a malt. And if you can still get a homemade from scratch cherry cola any place at a drugstore in Wisconsin.
So yeah, feel free to text in about that though on the Civic Media app.
Very, very good, Mr. Zommers. Text us on the Civic Media app and maybe we'll discuss that after the Kathy Griffin interview. We have time here at the very end of the show. Stay tuned. We're going to have a little news, weather, and agriculture update for you from all the folks here at Civic Media. And when we come back, Kathy Griffin, who is going to be appearing here in Madison, Wisconsin this Sunday at 7:30, the Overture Center. You can still buy tickets at KathyGriffin.com. Our interview with Kathy Griffin on the other side. Don't miss it on the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Joining us now, a two-time Emmy and Grammy award-winning comedian. Among her many accomplishments, in 2013, she was inducted into the Guinness Book of World Records for writing and starring in an unprecedented 20 television stand-up specials, more than any comedian in history. She's bringing her new stand-up tour called My Life on the PTSD List to the Capitol Theater in the Overture Center here in Madison, Wisconsin, this Sunday, April 21st. The one and only Kathy Griffin, thanks so much for taking time to join us.
What an intro. Thank you, Todd. Loved it.
Thank you. You know, I can read, you know. So.
I would go see me based
right?
on that.
What, why not? Exactly. Well, it's a pleasure to kind of meet you virtually here. Have you played in Madison in the past?
Oh, yeah. I love playing Madison. And can you believe I'm in Wisconsin in an election year?
This I know,
is
right?
going to be nuts. But there's so much to talk about. I call the show My Life on the PTSD List because get this, I've actually been diagnosed with complex PTSD, which might not sound funny at first, but you know what I've learned, Todd? You got to laugh at everything, no matter how dark the moment, no matter what you're diagnosed with. I'm a cancer survivor. I'm an addiction survivor. I certainly was... put under a microscope in a way by the Department of Justice that no comedian has ever in the history of this country. So I've been through a lot and I survived it all and I'm here to laugh about all of it.
Well, to me, I think that's one of the cool things about you because, I mean, we haven't all lived your, I mean, just above and beyond extraordinary life. I mean, not all of us could be Kathy Griffin, but I think each of us in our own way has gone through something, right? I mean, Robin Roberts' mom told her years ago in that book, you know, everybody's got something. And I think that's so true. And I think that's what makes you relatable to so many people is because you could be empathetic.
Well, I called my TV show My Life on the D-List because I really think more people relate to being on the D-List than the A-List. Right. And the A-List is fun. I have my little A-List moments now and again. But the D-List is really where I live. And so it made sense to call it PTSD List, harkening back, obviously, to my show on Bravo. But I feel like everything should be on the table as a comic, whether it's maybe difficult to talk about, maybe not, as long as you're punching up. And that's something that I think we should talk about, because in comedy, there seems to be a trend where certain comics are not punching up, they're punching down. And I'm talking about comics that make fun of the trans community or communities that are really in danger. So I felt like, for example, when I took the picture of Trump with ketchup on his Halloween mask, that offended a lot of people, which is fine with me. That's your opinion. But that's called punching up. And I've made fun of every president as long as I've been doing this. And I'm 63 years young, so I've been doing this a long time. But I think as long as you punch up, you should be in good shape.
So you have been gone for a little while, 6 years, as a matter of fact, for many of the reasons that you went through. So what's it like now getting back on the stage after kind of being away from it for 6 years?
Todd, oh my gosh, it is like home. Something happens. It's probably muscle memory because I've been doing it for so long and so many specials and TV shows and years of touring. When my feet hit that stage, something comes over me and I relax. I mean, I'm pretty high strung by nature, but I feel like I'm home. And I know that sounds corny, but I have a real relationship with my audience. Many folks have come to see me 8 or 9 times because they know the material is always going to be different, even if you saw me a year ago or 6 months ago. So that's something I'm proud of. And I love to change it up. That's what makes it fun for me and the audience.
Yeah, absolutely. Some people might not know or might not be aware, you've actually performed for servicemen and women in active war zones, not just going over to a hotel, but actually going to actual war zones. Talk about that experience, if you would, a little bit.
Yeah, it was my honor to perform in Afghanistan. And then 2 years later, I went back to Iraq. So when I went to Afghanistan, the war was still very new. And I performed right there in the mess hall. I would stand on top of a table. I performed in a FOB, which means a forward operating base, which are technically, I mean, it's all dangerous, but those are considered much more dangerous areas. And then a couple of years ago, because I was still doing Kathy Griffin, My Life on the D-List, we took the crew and went to Iraq. And that was really a fascinating experience. And once again, it was my honor because we would be doing a show, for example, or I'd be on stage, and then all the lights would go out. Because if the enemy was flying over, we didn't want them to see, obviously, stage lights and for the service members to be vulnerable. So it was not uncommon to be right in the middle of a joke, boom, power goes off, sound goes off, and one of the superiors would come over and they'd say, ma'am, just wait this out, it'll be a few minutes. And then everybody sat there patiently and waited for it to end, and we went back to the show. And that's a little bit of a microcosm for how I see my career. There are hiccups. Sometimes it's a war zone. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's friendly fire. Sometimes it's not. But let me tell you, performing for our brave men and women over there were two experiences, because I went twice, that I'll never forget. And I wish everybody could have that experience, because number one, you forget how young these service members are. They are children. I looked out there with me and my potty mouth, and these are 18-year-olds, 19-year-olds. Many of them are 21 and they have 3 kids already. Yeah. So I just think it's important that we always salute our troops. And in my little way, I just wanted to go over there and make them laugh. And when I came back, I also did a show at Walter Reed Medical Center. So let's not forget any of them. And making them laugh is my part, but you can always reach out to service members. They appreciate anything from an old-fashioned letter to showing up at an event. And so, like I said, I have people coming up to me this day that will say, you're not going to believe this. I was in the audience in Afghanistan or Iraq, and it always like practically brings me to tears.
Yeah. I thank you for doing that, by the way. And I think, I mean, people of a certain age, of which I am one, remember the late, great Robin Williams film, Good Morning Vietnam.
And they all love Robin. Right, they love, even though he's no longer with us, they love Ron Burgundy. They love Good Morning Vietnam. They love when a comedian takes a spin on that situation, which is so difficult, and goes, I'm going to make you laugh, even in a war zone. It's a very powerful thing, the magic of laughter.
And I think it's also, you point out there, that it doesn't matter what administration is in office at the time or whether we always agree politically with what's going on in the world, but our men and women who put the uniform on, that's not political because they're serving on behalf of all of us.
Yes. And what's interesting is I've been having some protests at some of my shows by Trumpers and MAGA people, and they love to wave the flag. And I've talked to many of them, and I've had people kind of go undercover and talk to many of them. And honestly, I would say the majority of people that protest my shows have not worn the cloth.
Yeah.
And that to me is not being a patriot. Coming to a Kathy Griffin show and just trying to shut it down or something, that's very different than putting on the cloth and actually fighting for the freedoms of this country, which allow me to say whatever the heck I want on stage, allow you to do your job, and the First Amendment really matters. And I met many service members, men and women, who would say, Ms. Griffin or ma'am, I may not always agree with what you say, but I will fight to the death for your right to say it. And how could I not respect that and love that? So I just am asking people to keep that in mind. This country is founded on that amendment, and there's a reason it's so important. So come on and just laugh and relax. Doesn't matter your political party. And by the way, I make fun of everybody.
Right. Kathy Griffin, she is appearing this weekend on Sunday at 7:30 showtime at the Overture Center of the Capitol Theater here in Madison, Wisconsin. Kathy, to say that you've done a lot of acting, of course, would be an understatement, but you did two episodes. It included two episodes of Seinfeld, among others. As you look back on the acting that you've done so far in your career, is there a particular role as an actor that stands out to you that's memorable?
Well, I've had two. I got to be on Law & Order SVU, and that was fun because I had a kissing scene with Stabler and Benson. Wow. And I believe I'm the only one to have a scene where I get to kiss both of them. But I also loved being on Seinfeld. I was on two episodes. But the second time I was on was the very week that Jerry announced he was retiring. So there was all sorts of press on the set and people trying to sneak on the set. And that was a very exciting time for me to just be around that cast of those amazing four comedic actors and listen to their conversations and joke around with them. And it was really quite a piece of history to be a part of.
So you're embarking on about your sixth show here this year at Carnegie Hall, breaking a record held by the late, great Joan Rivers. Talk about what that means to you personally, Kathy Griffin.
All right, I'm going to tip up my camera a little bit because there's a picture of Joan kind of above my head.
Look at that.
I call her the boss. The boss is always watching. And I had the privilege of becoming her good friend for many years. And I miss her every day. She was such a living example of perseverance, of finding the funny in everything. And, you know, a lot of people don't know this, but Joan was a Republican. And yet I saw her make fun of the Donald, you know. I know Trump. I've known him for 25 years. And Joan knew him, and she would call him the Donald, and he likes to be called the Donald. So I'd like you to call me the Kathy,
sure,
if that's okay with you.
Kathy. I love it.
The Kathy. And, oh, by the way, I was at a party at Paris Hilton's house 2 weeks ago.
Nice.
And I got to meet Megan Thee Stallion, and she said I could be called Kathy the Griffin.
I love it. Kathy, give us a little insight. I mean, as somebody who's known Trump, you know, behind the scenes a little bit, is he as goofy and weird off camera when he's not, you know, being watched in person as we see him now? Or has he changed over the years that you've known him?
Well, the one thing that never changed is his smell. He smells really bad.
That's real, then.
So
that's real.
Yeah, that's real. I don't know if that's one of those things where he doesn't like to take a lot of showers. There's certain people like Ashton Kutcher bragged about not showering very much, but he wears a lot of makeup.
Now, see, if I could spend time next to Ashton Kutcher, I wouldn't care whether he showered or not, quite frankly.
I know. But he talks about it for some reason. But Trump, you can smell him a mile away. And I just thought that was an interesting thing for somebody who supposedly has all this money. Right. He might want to buy some shampoo and some soap. Other than that, he just is, I see him as just a buffoon. Yeah. And I hope he doesn't become president again. That's my humble opinion, because I believe in things like, oh, I don't know, civil rights.
Right. No, I mean, we look at what happened here recently in Arizona with the Supreme Court now basically outlawing abortion, except in one circumstance. And we talk about it on our show that, you know, even if you're not, you know, necessarily the most thrilled with President Biden, the alternative is certainly much worse.
The alternative is fascism and authoritarianism. Yeah. And in this country, we don't even teach civics anymore at the grade school level, maybe not high school. How would I remember? But I just want people to realize that's what the choice is. And also, please vote down ballot. The presidential is the one we talk about the most. But sometimes the down ballot, your local sheriff, your representatives, your state senators, your United States senators, they might have more of an effect on your daily life than even the president. So there's my rant. Get out there and vote. It's going to be November 5th, the day after my birthday, if I survive it with this interview. But as you can see, nothing can stop me. So please come see me live. Go to KathyGriffin.com for tickets.
All right, Kathy, so about a minute left here. We appreciate your time so very much with us here. Again, you're playing at the Capitol Theater in the Overture Center, a beautiful venue, literally just across the street from our studios, by the way. So I'll even come in on the weekend to bring you coffee or whatever you want. You know, come on, we'll be great.
What?
Sure, of course. I'm literally looking at the Overture Center out our window right now. So, yeah, whatever you need. We're here for you.
It's a gorgeous theater, and I'm thrilled to play there. And also, let me think of stuff you can bring me.
Sure.
I'd like you to bring me a new husband. I'm getting divorced. So that would be great if you could fit one in your fanny pack.
I would like one of those as well. I'm still looking for myself.
We can go out cruising together.
Oh, my God. Cruising with Kathy Griffin on State Street. I am so in.
I hope so.
Kathy Griffin, this Sunday, buy your tickets at KathyGriffin.com. We'll be promoting it more. Break a leg this weekend. Thank you, Kathy, for your time, and have a wonderful tour.
Thank you, Todd.
Our appreciation. Back after this on the Todd Allball Show on Civic Media. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, and it's 10 before the hour of 2 o'clock, top of the hour, news for you across the country and around Wisconsin, courtesy of Terry Bell and our great news team here at Civic Media. Then coming up after the news, quick weather update for you, it is the Maggie Dawn Show with our friend and colleague Maggie Dawn, every afternoon 2 until 4, it is the Maggie Dawn Show. Stay tuned for that. What I mean, I thank Kathy Griffin for stopping by. We recorded that a couple of days ago, but she was fantastic. She was just
absolutely
great. And you know, sometimes you meet a famous person like that, a celebrity. And what we did, I mean, obviously we met, you know, over StreamYard, over the internet. But you wonder, well, are people just going to be jerks or are they going to be chill? She could not have been. And before we started recording and then after, she could not have been cooler and nicer.
Oh, definitely. And also, you know, you can tell that she talks for a living because any question you asked, the answer was right there. So she snappy. She was so ready, but it didn't feel canned at all.
No, she was right on her game. And I hope folks, I mean, again, I get that she can be somewhat of a controversial figure, but I think if you really, it's a great example. I think if you just sit down and have a conversation with a person, you can learn a lot. And by the way, a shout out to our co-executive producer, CP Chris Pauls, and yourself, Mr. Zommers, for helping put all that together, both the questions from CP helping out. Because I don't have a lot of prepared questions with people we interview on the show because I want it to be spontaneous. But I knew we kind of had to think this one out. And thanks to CP's research, he's like, well, did you know she's done these USO tours? I had no idea. And I think that just listening to that interview back again, I think she really appreciated the opportunity to talk about that part of her life that maybe not a lot of people know.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. And it's super cool to hear about.
Yeah. No, very, very, very interesting. So we thank Kathy Griffin. There are still a few tickets left. They are selling out quickly, but if you want to go, she is Kathy Griffin appearing at the Overture Center right here in Madison, across the street from our headquarters, 7:30 showtime on Sunday night. KathyGriffin.com is the place you can buy those tickets.
You can also go to overture.org, just the website for the Overture Center.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you to Kathy Griffin. We appreciate her and hope to bring more interviews like that to you in the near future. All right, Mr. Zommers, how should we end this show here? I've got one story that might make people go, ooh, and another story that's going to make them smile.
I think let's do the smile. Let's do the smile.
You know what? I did not ask him. I just wanted an honest opinion, and I was feeling the same thing. I think we should end the show on a smile today. From the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, in my hot little hands, as they say, headline, what's the best fast food in the United States? This travel guide picks a Wisconsin brand.
Aside from the fact that I know the story because you told me about it earlier, just saying that tells you which one it is.
Right. It's where we spent 2 hours a couple of weeks ago. The best fast food restaurant in the United States, according to Fodder's Travel, has a Wisconsin flavor. Of course, it's Culver's.
I mean, every fast food I've had, Culver's is the best, and it's not close.
Fodder's Gina Truman wrote that she spent a year driving around the U.S. on a quest to eat and experience the true culture of America. She ranked 12 fast food chains, leaving out large corporations like McDonald's, Wendy's, and Burger King. Good for her on that, by the way. I mean, those are national ones.
Well, even if you include those.
Yeah, Culver's, I would still say, you're right, I would still say, but cool that she wasn't going for a national. She wanted something that was a little bit more regional and not as corporate. And at the top of the spot, quote, as the most delicious fast food pit stop in America is Culver's, unquote. The restaurant, of course, founded in Sauk City in 1984 by George, Ruth, Craig, and Lee Culver. The article said Culver's, quote, gives the outer appearance of fast food, but outperforms all others in taste. I totally agree.
Turns out the idea that people are willing to wait for quality, yeah, completely accurate.
100%.
And it's not like you're even waiting that long.
No, you really aren't most of the time. Just in case you're curious, the rest of the list, in order, finishing in second place behind Culver's. Want to take a guess?
I don't know. There's In-N-Out Burger?
That is on the list, but very, very close. It's third, actually.
In the Box? I don't know. I'm just naming
things.
No,
that's fine. Jack in the Box, not on the list. I'll just tell you. In second place behind Culver's, Shake Shack.
Oh, okay.
Which... We now we've had one in Madison for what, a year and a half, 2 years, something like that. I've gone a handful of times. It's fine. It's fine. I find I'm not trying to put Shake Shack hate out there, but if I'm going to compare Culver's to Shake Shack, I actually think the food tastes better at Culver's, and Shake Shack is more pricey.
Yeah, definitely. I think they compete in the same zone of types of fast food, you know, right. Burgers and ice cream-ish things.
I think Shake Shack is more urban, larger. Madison's probably one of the smaller places that Shake Shack is at, because they're like in New York and Chicago.
Or like Chicago, yeah.
Where Culver's, you could find it in a town of 3,000 people. Or you could find it in Milwaukee. Number three on the list, you named it, Mr. Zommers, In-N-Out. Four, Whataburger. Five, and I know this is popular with the kids, Raising Cane's.
Raising Cane's is really good.
Raising Cane's chicken is hugely popular with the kids.
I guess I'm the kids.
You're the kids. Five Guys, also pretty popular. Chick-fil-A, Dave's Hot Chicken, Kelly's Roast Beef, White Castle, Dick's and Zips. I'm not sure, but I've never heard of that one.
I don't know if I care to.
And tying for number 10, Jollibee. So there you go. That's your top food picks according to Fodder's Travel. And of course, number one, Culver's. Culver's. How about that?
Very deserving.
Yeah, absolutely very deserving. So we'll maybe revisit this and take some phone calls on it here. in the near future. But it was absolutely fantastic. It was absolutely fantastic for the Journal Sentinel. Jessica Rodriguez doing the story here. And thank you to Fodder's Travel. It's a big name in the travel industry. And, you know, they picked and said that Culver's was the place to be. We would agree with that. There's always a Culver's near you.
Oh, also, I did get to try the new bacon, and it's very good.
It's fantastic, the new bacon at Culver's. Pat Kreitlow, Up North News Radio, every morning from 6 to 8. Thank you, sir. Trigvi Olson, Senior Advisor to the Lincoln Project, thank you. And a special thank you to our special guest today, Kathy Griffin, the great actor and comedian who is appearing at the Overture Center this Sunday at 7:30. And of course, all of you for listening. Thank you for all the great calls today. Really, really appreciate that. Stay tuned for Maggie Dawn next. From Mr. Aaron Zomers, I'm Todd Allball. Say whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, do not give up. Just like Kathy Griffin, keep banging your drum.